suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. So glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup, although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me." Oh, I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels from my hands, pull the nails that torment me.
You guys got me there? All right. Thank you, Brother Rayleigh. Beautiful song. I hope you pay attention to music. I like music. I like to sing. I like to listen to music. Mrs. Lemon comes over and shuts my door when it gets to be too loud. Because she's listening to her own music, yeah, and mine's interfering with hers, so. Yes. And so, yeah. Well, it's friendly, you know, back and forth there, so most of the time. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight, and again, church, I always count it a privilege to be able to preach and to be here, and I never take it lightly. Actually, I was taught to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice, Bible college. Every good Bible college student should know that and be ready to do so. But I like to know in as far in advance as I possibly can because I want to do a good job and I want to be a blessing to you, and I don't want you to come to church having felt that you didn't get anything. And listen, if you're a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. You got to rely heavily on the Holy Spirit of God and the voice of God to make sure that I don't waste this time. And if I were doing it in the flesh, it would be a waste of time. And so I hope it's a blessing to you tonight. And I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know if it's my voice or just me, but this microphone doesn't like me. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 22. And as always, those of you that know me, it's going to just be simple. It's not going to be something super complex. I'm not going to dig a hole 20 foot deep and jump into it. We're just going to stay right off the top. It's not going to be difficult. Something you already know, but I just want to be an encouragement to you. I want to be a blessing to you tonight so that you can be the best Christian you can be for the Lord. And you can serve God to the best of your ability. And listen, I know who I'm talking to tonight. This is the Wednesday night crowd. This is the cream of the crop, if you will. Those of you who are plugged in, you're serving, you're ministering, you're doing the things, you're applying the messages and the sermons to your life. You're making the most of your Christian life, if anybody in the church is. And I'm glad for you being here tonight, and I hope that this is a blessing to you. So please stand as we read in Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 22 to the end. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Now, I read that in context to get you an idea of what the author is saying here. He's trying to get the people of God to see something, to see a perspective of the Heavenly Father, of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That yes, we should serve him. And I want you to focus on verse 28 where it says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And a message I want to preach to you tonight is simply this: in the service of the King. In the service of the King. You and I, as born-again believers, are in the service of the King. Whether we like it or not, we are. Now, whether we are a good and faithful servant or a wicked and slothful servant, that has remained to be seen. But we are, without exception, in his service. But to what capacity? But to what end? But to what result are we in his service? Are we doing all that we can? Are we all that we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we serving to our full potential? Are we living up to the talents and the treasures that God has given to us to serve him with? Or are we not? Is the question tonight. And I just want to just very quickly go through the scriptures. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. And I want to just point out what a Christian should be and how we should be and what we should be doing in the service of the King. Heavenly Father, I do love you, and I thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Lord, my heart goes out to those in our church family who are hurting, Lord, who are struggling with physical disabilities. Some are struggling with spiritual infirmities, and Lord, I pray that you'd just open our hearts and our minds tonight, that you'd allow us to pay attention to the Word of God. God, I pray that you'd guide my thoughts and my lips, that I would only speak those things that you had laid on my heart to speak tonight. for these, your people. And Lord, I think of our teenagers and our workers who are up at teen camp, and our preacher, and Brother Jeremy Ogdes, he preaches tonight. Lord, our desire is that you work in the hearts of those young people and those workers, that they would just be open and all out for you tonight, that they would give up all of their own desires and dreams and accept your perfect will for their lives. And Lord, we want to see great things. We want to see a fire within them that's burning as they come back to serve you even greater than they had when they left. And Lord, that's our desire tonight. Lord, as we serve in your service, as we are part of the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we are part of the children of God, and we have that sonship in the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, would you help us to be able to see our duty, to see where we're supposed to serve and how we're supposed to serve, and do it with our whole heart. God, I pray that you bless the service tonight. Holy Spirit, move in a mighty way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, like I said, this passage gives us a little bit of different picture. Especially in verse 29 when it ends and says, "For our God is a consuming fire." It gives me a little bit of a clue that he's not trying to point out all the flowery things of heaven in this particular passage of Scripture. Now listen, in Revelation when it says that he's got eyes as fire, that's really part of who God is. God is not just a God of love, and he is that. God is not just one faceted being. He's a multifaceted being. He's a balanced being. He's God. There is none like him. And listen, for us to just to stick one characteristic on God. Yeah, we're in an age of grace, and yes, God is love, but that's not the end of the story. Our God is a God of wrath. He is a God of judgment. He is a consuming fire. And we've got to know that as his children. Because in the service of the king, I want to know my king. I want to know how to serve him. I want to know what to expect. I want to know how best to do my part in his service. And that means I've got to know him. Do you know him? Do you know what he expects? Do you know how he responds to different things? Listen, if the Bible tells me if I'm a child, that if I do wrong, he's going to chasten me. And as a servant, if I'm in his service and I make a mistake and I mess up, I'm going to know that my master is going to chasten me. Because I'm one of his. And that's how it works. And listen, if I'm not chastened, I better wonder what's going on. I better be worried. And you know what? I'm going to know that if I know my king. I'm going to know that if I know my master and my heavenly father. As a servant tonight, do you know the one that you're serving? Or are you just kind of have that casual acquaintance with him? Yes, you're saved. You've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. But you haven't grown much. Imagine this in a kingdom, perhaps maybe in the kingdom of David or Solomon. The multiplied multitudes of servants that they had. Lots of them, right? And they didn't all come ready-made for the job. Okay? They didn't all have 20 years of experience and had served other kings and knew exactly what to do, right? Some of them, they had to train from the ground up. They had to train. Maybe they brought somebody in. They had never served anywhere before. They had to teach them and train them how to serve, right? That happens all the time in the workplace. It happens in the service of the king. We're not all born into the family of God, ready made to serve God just like that. We don't know all the tricks. We don't know all the things. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how it all is supposed to work. It takes time, doesn't it? But regardless, we are in the service of the king. So yes, there's some room for error. There is some room for growing and learning. There's a learning curve there. I remember when I first came here to Trinity Baptist Church, I was right out of Bible college. I had never thought one day about being the principal of a Christian school. It thought it hadn't even occurred to me. And here I am. I came here. It was, I believe, the 8th of August. And school started the 13th. And I was the guy in charge. Woo-hoo! Yeah, and I had principled many other schools. You know, I had lots of experience at this job. Zero. Talk about a learning curve. I mean, I got lots of down the look glasses at me from Brother Smith. Okay. Son, dumb, 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 dumb. But you know what? I'm thankful for him and for how he treated me. He could have killed me, fired me. I mean, over and over again. But you know what? He wasn't like that. He was gracious towards me. You know why? Because he knew I didn't know anything. He knew that. The deacons knew that when they hired me, when they said, yeah, we're going to consider this guy. And the preacher hired me and said, yeah, this is the guy. They knew I had no experience in this. But that's what he wanted. He wanted something he could work with, something he could train and raise up to be the right kind of principal for the Christian school. And I hope I can become that one day. 5 years is not long enough, okay? Not long enough. It may take me a lifetime. It may take you a lifetime to become the servant of God that you need to be. So I'm not talking to you today as if you should already be where you should be. But I'm asking you today if you're doing all that you're capable of now. And you know what? I would be... loony if I thought that every Christian was doing all that they could be for God. It's just not true. It's not, that's not a reality. And listen, all of us have room for improvement. Every single one of us could be a better servant in the service of the King today. Look, just very quickly, think in your life right now, the things that you could be doing better for the Lord Jesus Christ. I already know I won't tell you how many. Lots in my life. How about you? That's what I want to talk about tonight. So very simply, four things. To just encourage you to be all you can be in the service of the King. Number one, this is tough. Told you, it's deep. Follow the commands. As a servant, servants follow the commands. That's what servants are supposed to do. Servants aren't supposed to ask why. Servants aren't supposed to ask how come. Servants aren't supposed to say, well, I think this is a better way. No, servants are supposed to follow the commands. Straight up. That's how it's supposed to be. As a parent, my children don't get to know how come. They don't get to know why. They're just supposed to follow the commands. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, one day I'll explain to them why. And one day I'll tell them how come. But for right now, as 17 months and not born yet, they don't need to know. I don't think I missed anybody. Brother Garner accused me of having 14 kids. I was just wondering where I lost the other ones. Like, where did they go? I only could keep track of five at a time. But, right? As servants of the King, we don't need to know how come. We just need to follow the commands. That's what we're supposed to do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Does it get any simpler than that? I don't think so. Now listen, those are things that are easy to say, hard to do. You know why? Because we deal with this every single day. This old flesh doesn't want to keep the commands. It doesn't want to serve God. It doesn't want to do right. It wants to sin. It wants the control. That's what your flesh wants. That old nature in many of us is alive and well, sad to say. We haven't put it to death. We haven't crucified it like we're supposed to. We haven't mortified the deeds of the body. We need to mortify this flesh. We need to put it to death and let the Spirit reign in us. you know what? We've got to follow the commands. So here's four simple commands. I know there's thousands more than these, but these will help you be the best you can be in the service of the king. Command number one, a command to serve. Ha, that's easy. We're talking about the service. In the service of the king, what are servants supposed to do? They're supposed to, yeah, we're supposed to serve. Deuteronomy 10:12 says this, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Does that sound like a command to you? Sounds like a command to me. We're supposed to serve God. If we serve the world, we're not obeying the commands. If we serve the devil, we're not obeying the command. If we serve the flesh, we're not obeying the command. It's a command. And we're supposed to follow the commands. So, Christian, how are we doing in command number one? Serve God. Are you following the command? Some of you are. Some of us are, and some of us are some of the time. And some of the time, we're not. And some of the time, we are. And some of the time, we're not. And some of the time, we are. You ever feel like, yeah, that's what we do. But a servant is supposed to serve. And we're supposed to serve God. Number two, we have a command to submit. Hey, when's the last time you took your life into your own hands? Well, that was today, Brother Combs. Okay. We do what we want to do. We go where we want to go. We accomplish what we want to accomplish. Don't we? But we're supposed to submit to God. We're supposed to submit to His will. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says this, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Back and forth, back and forth. Does that sound like double-minded to you? Sounds double-minded to me. And listen, I'm not standing here as one who's never experienced this. Okay? I'm not standing here above you other than the fact that I am above you physically because I'm on a platform. That's the only reason why. We've got to submit to God. That's a command. So as a servant of the and in the service of the king, we need to follow the commands. Command to serve, a command to submit. Number three, a command to witness. Everybody knows this one, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "And ye shall be witnesses." Okay, there's no ifs, right? There's no ors. There's no maybes. That's pretty straightforward, right? "And ye shall be witnesses." How are you doing in the witness department? You know what? Next week is our week of soul winning. Have you already tuned that out? Do you already have your excuses all in a row why you cannot come and be a part of the week of soul winning? Or have you cleared the slate? The schedule is clean. I've even made some sacrifices and some adjustments that I'm going to lose some sleep, or I might lose some money, or I might lose some time over so I can go out and be a witness for my king. Hey, we're going to meet here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in the mornings. And Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday in the evenings. Will you be here to witness? One, two, three, four, five times, six times? How many? It's a command. Okay, I'll even buy your excuses. Well, then when are you going to go witnessing? When are you going to be a witness for Christ? If you can't come during one of the organized times that we have here at church, when do you witness? I'll buy it that you can't make it. That's okay. And many people have legitimate reasons why they can't come Thursday nights and legitimate reasons why they can't come Saturdays. But when do you witness? Because we're supposed to. Hey, listen, I know not everybody's schedule's the same, but do you? Are you following the command? And number four, a command to be holy. Holy. These are things that servants are supposed to follow. We are in the service of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. There is no higher power. There is no higher person to serve. And we're in His service. Follow the commands. The command to be holy in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. In verse 26, he says, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other peoples, that ye should be mine. Hey, we're bought with a price. In 1 Peter, he tells us that we're a peculiar people. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're supposed to be a holy people unto our God. Why? Because He's holy. You ever notice maybe different venues, or you've seen maybe in books or maybe perhaps documentaries or movies, the household of a king? And how you have the king and the king and his entourage are arrayed in a certain type of clothing. They look a certain way. All of the servants are dressed in like manner. They're not shabby. They don't have holes in their clothes and things. They look the part. Do we? God says, be holy for I am holy. That's what we're supposed to be for the Lord as His servants. Hey, are we following the commands? That's number one. The command to serve. The command to submit. A command to witness. And a command to be holy. So there's number one. How are we doing so far? In the service of the King. Not only are we supposed to follow the commands, but number two, we're supposed to serve willingly. Serve willingly. I know I'm a Yankee. Okay? I'm not from around these parts. Okay? I'm not fixing to do anything. Unless I'm actually fixing something. Okay? Then I have a toolbox and I do all that. But I'm from up north. I'm from North Dakota. Okay? It's cold up there most of the time. Glory to God. I wish it was that way down here. But you know what? I'm not ignorant of history. I know that the South is not all about slavery. Okay? I know that. Okay? All you Southerners think that us Yankees, we have a different history book, all those things. I know you think that. But I do know a little bit about slavery. And I do know this much, that many times there were slave owners in the South who were very good to their slaves. They treated them well. They took care of them. And they actually cared about these people. And that many times, if a slave would do something out of the ordinary for his master, an expression of gratitude, maybe save his life or do something just extraordinary, that slave owner would set that person free, would give them their freedom. And I know also that many times those servants, those slaves, loved their masters back because they treated them well. And that sometimes when they would be set free, they would turn around and say, I want to stay. And they'd take an awl and they would drive it through their ear, signifying that that slave was of their own free will chose to remain a slave. a servant in the household of that master. How are we doing? That's willing to serve. Listen, God's not going to twist your arm and make you do this stuff. He wants you to want to do this stuff. He wants you to do it with a willing mind. Number one, a willing mind. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, you can turn over there. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. David is writing to his son, to Solomon. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. We need to serve with a willing mind. Listen to what he says to Solomon. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Hey, those are some words of wisdom from a dad to a son. Son, serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Listen, do you serve in the church because you have to or because you want to? Do you serve because you say, well, if I don't do it, nobody else will? That's not necessarily a willing mind. Do you have a willing mind to do the work of the King? Are you the one volunteering and with a willing mind saying, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. I want to serve my King in that capacity. With a willing mind. Number two, with a willing heart. With a willing heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, and I want you to listen to this. Paul saying this, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Hey, listen, I know many of us, we go out there and we serve. We have a willing mind. I'm going to do that task, but our heart's not in it. The mind is willing. We're willing to do that, but our heart's not in it. Is your heart in it? Hey, listen. There are some days that I sit in my desk during the school year, and I say, God, why me? See, my hair, it's falling out. I'm only 33. That's not supposed to happen. I was sitting in the barber chair, gray hairs. He was snipping. I said, "What are you throwing some gray hairs in there just to make me look bad or something?" I said, quit that. It gets tough sometimes. And you know what? Christian school principal is not easy. Everybody thinks that Christian schools are full of good Christian kids. What a sad misconception. Now, I hope that happens someday. I'm working on them. But, no, it's hard. But if my heart wasn't in it, I'm not in it for the money. I'm not. If I was in it for the money, I'd go work in the public school sector. My mom is a principal of a public school. She makes good money. That's not what I mean it for. You know why I'm here? You know what I do? Why I do what I do? You know why I beat my head against the wall dealing with parents and kids? Because I have a willing heart. You know why these bus workers go out on Saturday and visit? And these bus drivers, these workers, they give up their Sundays and they go out there in the heat and drive a bus and ride on a bus to bring boys and girls to Jesus Christ. You know why? Their heart's in it. They don't have to do it. Nobody's making them do it. They serve because they have a willing heart. These Sunday school teachers who call and send letters and notes. Listen, my little boys are in love with Miss Nancy Garman. They love her. You know why? Because she loves them. She sends them letters every week. They get a little postcard. It says, "Ian, I love you." He was out of pocket this Sunday. He had a little cough and was not feeling well, and so he didn't go to Sunday school. And she said, "I missed you Sunday." A willing heart. Listen, many times we serve and we serve with a willing mind, but our heart's not in it. But you know what? It can be. We can choose to put it in it. Hey, have you ever known someone who at work just pours their life into what they're doing? They really care. They have a passion for it. Because they're serving with a willing heart. And also, we've got to have the mind and the heart in it, but a willing body. Listen. You want to give God leftovers of life? Go ahead and feed the flesh. Serve the flesh. Let the flesh rule your life and give God the leftovers. Or you can do what Romans chapter 12 says. I beseech you. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you giving God your best? With your willing mind, your willing heart, and your willing body? Hey, in the service of the King, follow the commands. Just follow them. Serve willingly. Number three, serve joyfully. Serve joyfully. Have that little hop in your step. You know? Smile on your face. Whistling. And when I first came here, Mrs. Lemon scolded me. She said, "Brother Combs, you can't..." I'm picking on you today. She said, you can't do that. I would come in whistling down the hallway. I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because that's how we know Brother Lassiter's around, because he's whistling." I said, "So?" He goes, "Well, you're confusing us, because we think he's here, and he's not." I said, "Well, tough." I mean, really, as a Christian, what do we have to be ho-hum about? What do we have to complain about? What do we have to gripe and be depressed about? You know, that's like the number one illness in our world today is depression. There are more people on medication for depression than any other medication. That's ridiculous. And I don't know the statistics, but I'm sure a lot of them are Christians. Why? Why? Hey, we get to serve God. We get to read the Bible. We get to come to church. We get to give our tithe. We get to ride on the church bus. Mrs. Badger asked me, said, "Brother Combs, how you doing this week?" And I said, "I'm having fun." I said, "Well, isn't, you know, the pressures of being the only staff guy around?" I said, "There's no pressure. Mrs. Lemon's in charge." No, there isn't any pressure. Why? Because it's something I get to do. This is fun. This is what God called me to do. He called me to be a preacher. He called me to serve in the ministry, to minister to people. That's what He made me for. And you're made for a purpose too. So why don't you serve Him joyfully? Hey, what about this? Ever heard of this word? Delight. Delight. Brother Smith used to say, like a lightning bug that lost his tail, "We're delighted to see you." Now, delight. Do you delight in serving God? Do you know what it means to delight in something? That means you get excited about it. You actually enjoy the benefits of what you're doing. You delight in what you have. In Psalm 40, verse 8, David says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That means David said, when I do your will and I do your law, it's a delight to my soul. I mean, when you get to tell the truth and it gets you in trouble, are you happy about that? You should be, if you delight in the law of God. Or are you worried about how much it's going to hurt you? That means you're worried about you. You're worried about the flesh. Hey, why don't you delight in the things of God? Hey, people tell me all the time, well, I just don't like that church music. Why not? Why not? Well, I don't know. I like to do the things that are fun. Well, if you delighted in the things of the Lord, they'd be fun. I mean, coming to church on a Wednesday night would be fun. I mean, nobody, why isn't anybody doing the wave and have banners, you know, go God, you know? Well, it's go Mavs, right? Church should be, I mean, you go to a ball game for fun. People cheering, right? All crazy, yelling, screaming. But we sit in church and it's just kind of, it's 8:32, Brother Combs is past time. And he's only on point number 3. That's right, there's only 6 more to go, okay? Delight. Okay, number 2, joy. Joy. Psalm 126 verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Joy. Do you really know what joy is? Joy is not necessarily happiness. Joy is a deeper thing. And joy comes through and from our salvation. Are you joyful tonight? Are you excited about the gift, the free gift of eternal life that you have? Does that joy resonate from your inner being? Should. It should. And if you have delight and joy, then you can rejoice. It's hard to have joy, it's hard to rejoice if you don't have joy to start with. In John 4:36, it says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Hey, do you rejoice when one of your friends that sits next to you gets to lead someone to Lord Jesus Christ? See, they have joy, and you get to rejoice with them. Hey, when you see great results in a Sunday school class or in a bus route or something going on here at the church, do you rejoice in that? We should. In the service of the King, we should serve joyfully. And the last thing, not only do we need to follow the commands, serve willingly, and serve joyfully, but tonight we need to think about serving wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Not half-heartedly, not just some-heartedly, wholeheartedly. Give it all. Listen, I don't think that we should be monks, you know, and get our sleeves, hands in our sleeves and little hats and just walk around like this all day long. I don't think that. God designed us the way we are for different reasons. We all have different parts to fill in this church, this local church. But you know what? We need to serve God with our whole heart. As a servant, God is looking for people who are after his heart. Hey, you know what? David made mistakes. David was not perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. Are you? Are you that kind of servant? I know we're not perfect, but do you serve God wholeheartedly? First of all, do you seek Him wholeheartedly? They say that when a person smokes, it's a habit. Okay? That nicotine, that craving that they have. And it drives a person so much that they go to sleep, and when they wake up, that's the first thing they've got to have. That's what their brain tells them. Sends a signal to them, says, cigarette, nicotine, got to have it. Those of you that have ever smoked know what I'm talking about. Am I right? Oh, you're not going to say, okay. But it's true. How in tune are you with God? That as soon as you wake up, you've got to have some. You've got to have some of this. That you can't go one step out of your bed without. Huh? That's wholeheartedly. Do you seek Him wholeheartedly? You know what? I'm learning as a Christian school principal that the more I do things in the flesh, the more things crumble and fall. This is not something I can do. It's something God has to do. And if He doesn't do it, it's not going to get done right. But He's willing to do it through me and use me according to His perfect design. So I've got to seek Him. Not only that, do we need to seek wholeheartedly, we need to praise wholeheartedly. Praise Him. David was good at that. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. David knew how to serve God. And we need to seek Him wholeheartedly and praise Him wholeheartedly. And then the last thing, we need to serve wholeheartedly. Serve wholeheartedly. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 says this, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. You serving God wholeheartedly? Or maybe just half-heartedly? Or some-heartedly? Or none-heartedly? Where's that meter for you today? You know, the more I have opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the more what Brother Smith used to say sinks in. If he had 10,000 lives to live, in every one, he'd want to be God's preacher. Now, I agreed with what he said, and I knew what he was talking about. But as the years go by, as I get into this thing more and more, I begin to sense what he's talking about. I mean, really, to grasp it. What is your perspective on serving God? Is just, oh, he's a God of love. Gonna forgive everything, no matter. Or do you see him as that consuming fire? As the master who requires something of you. You got to see both sides of it. Can't just look at it one way. You are in the service of the King. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what your need is tonight, Christian. I don't know where you are in your life when it comes to serving God. But I do know that you are in the service of the King. Are you following the commands? Are you serving willingly? Are you serving joyfully? Are you serving wholeheartedly? If not tonight, in whatever capacity, you can make it right. You can correct it tonight. tonight. And maybe tonight you're not in the service of the King. You've never been saved. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me tell you something. He may be a God of wrath and a God of judgment, but He is a God of love. He is a God of mercy, a God of grace and forgiveness, and He wants you to be saved. Will you come to Him tonight? Will you accept His gift of eternal life? Will you be born again? Heavenly Father, I pray that You bless this invitation time now. May people make decisions.